Stories about the bright side of education.
Somos Sunnyside.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Somos Sunnyside. We have a special guest here today, and we have a teacher, another teacher, right? Because it's important for us to start with our teachers. We want to hear the stories from our teachers, and we know how big of an impact they have in our sites, in our schools, in our community, and definitely impact students in a positive way, because the learning experience of our students is super, super important. My guest today is Hilaria Zilog. She's a teacher at Los Amigos. Welcome, Hilaria. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so let's just get right to it. I think the viewers want to know, or the listeners want to know a little bit about yourself. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your educational journey and what brought you to Sunnyside.
So this is my 9th year of teaching, 8th year in the district. I'm born and raised in Arizona, not Tucson originally. I'm from Paradise Valley, then moved to Florence, Arizona, a small town known as the prison town. And I graduated from Florence High School. And then I came to Tucson to go to the U of A. And then I actually did my practicum and like student teaching in Sunnyside at Los Amigos with a wonderful teacher. Shout out Mr. Mian. He's a librarian at Craycroft now. And I just fell in love with the district. And I fell in love with Tucson. I went back home for 1 year to Florence, and I just missed Tucson so much and Los Amigos specifically. And so now I've been here ever since.
All right. What grade do you teach?
5th grade.
Yeah. 5th graders, huh? So that age group is what, about 10-year-olds?
Yeah, 10 and 11. It's like the sweet spot, I think, because I taught first grade my very first year, and they're adorable. But I was, you know, God bless those, you know, younger teachers that teach the young kids, because I don't have the patience.
So, and I guessed right, because my son's a 10-year-old and he's in 5th grade, so it would have been bad if I screwed that one up. So, you know, what's your experience like? What has your experience been like here in Sunnyside? You know, I'm glad to hear that, you know, when we hang on to our student teachers, you know, we get a lot of student teachers that teach at our school sites, and it's always a good, positive, you know, news that we hang on to them, and then we keep them here in Sunnyside, especially if they're great fits for our students and great fits in the community. And so tell us a bit about that. Like what you know, help make your decision easy, whatever your experience has been like, you know, what are the pros and cons of being a teacher here at Sunnyside, and especially at Los Amigos,
Well, I think not only did I do my student teaching there, but also like those practicum hours where you have like, I don't know if they do that anymore, but like we were at the portable, we were there every day, and then I did my student teaching there, and it just felt like a family from like day one. Everyone says hello to you in the morning, like you feel like you're welcomed the minute you step in the door. And I felt that all the way back in 2014 when I first walked through those doors. And obviously, you know, teachers have changed over time, leadership has changed, but that feeling of familia hasn't changed since then.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say that, you know, I've heard that a lot from individuals that work at Los Amigos and from the Los Amigos community, is that feeling of a familia, right? But at the same time, you know, taking care of the learning needs of our students. And I truly, truly appreciate the culture that has been built there and that has been built there for many, many years. And so that, you know, site continues to be successful and continues to, you know, make sure our kids are taken care of. So shifting gears here a little bit, I want to talk a little bit about your role with the Sunnyside Education Association. You know, I know you're a huge teacher advocate, you know, as we are. And so tell us a bit about that, and so our listeners can understand the role of SEA and the role you play in SEA.
Yeah, so I joined SEA my very first year here. So, you know, Sunnyside Education Association, our local union. I knew to join just because my family has always had a very proud history of union work. I have family up in Globe in Miami. So through like the mines, it was just union was always like pro-union. But then when the Red for Ed movement happened in 2018, that beautiful chaotic moment in April and May, I really saw what it means to be a leader, not just within my own site, but like in education overall. And SEA was my route to there. And so I started off as the political action committee chair and then quickly moved to vice president. And I've been in that role for about 5 years now. And I've learned so much about all of the stakeholders beyond just my classroom, my kids. You learn so much when you're in a leadership role especially in SEA, about the political aspects of education and the good and the bad, mostly the bad, right, in the state of Arizona. But you learn a lot about that and how to advocate for yourself, for your colleagues, and ultimately your students. And you feel that collective voice when you're part of that, you know, movement, I would say, part of that group.
Right. And I agree with you. You know, I want to thank you for taking on that role. You know, I think voice is everything, right? I mean, you know, in our organization here at Sunnyside, we want to make sure all individuals have a voice because everyone matters, right? Everyone in the organization matters. There's no hierarchy in learning. It shouldn't be about positional power. It's about purpose, right? And the purpose is that our students graduate college, career, and community ready. And so, you know, I kind of, you know, want to talk a little bit about, you know, because, you know, I've been in the district my entire career as a teacher, you know, as an administrator, and now in this role. And so I think sometimes there's perceptions out there in terms of a division, right? There's perceptions that, you know, you hear, oh, you went to the dark side and you're doing this role now and that role now. And so I want to address that, right? Because I think, you know, I'd like to think we have a good relationship with the Sunnyside Education Association, with our teachers. And I'd like to think there isn't a division, but a unified front, right? And so I think, you know, we share a lot of the same values as educators, as people that care a lot about our students and care a lot about their outcomes. So, you know, speak to that a little bit because, you know, I want our listeners to hear it firsthand from SEA, to hear it firsthand from us. And, you know, one of the things I know we do often is you know, we meet regularly and we discuss and we talk. You know, I truly believe that people understand each other by communicating, right? I mean, you solve issues by having dialogue, and sometimes issues, you know, sometimes they're tough conversations. We call them the courageous conversations. But at the end of the day, we're trying to accomplish and we're trying to make decisions on what's best for our students. So talk a little bit about that. What are your views on that? And you know, let's put that out there to our listeners.
I think you said it perfectly when you said it comes down to the values of what we all have, regardless of your position, right? The Sunny, you know, SUSD leadership, employees, classified, certified, and then SEA, we all share the same value of what's best for our kids. And then SEA, right, also is like what's best for our employees, which at the end of the day is also what's best for our kids. And so, you know, like I said, I went back home for 1 year, and I think Sunnyside's very unique in the fact that you work together with the different groups, and there is not the same for sure in other districts. I mean, in my hometown, in the Phoenix area, it's a lot of just butting heads all the time.
I agree
and
with you.
I'm grateful that Sunnyside is not like that, because it shouldn't have to be like that. If we all have the same goal at the end of the day, it shouldn't be like that. And that's why I truly believe Sunnyside is unique in that situation, where we can approach leadership and have, like you said, those courageous conversations. Might be uncomfortable, we might not agree, but at least we can have those conversations and come to the table and try to work it out, as opposed to other districts where it's constant, well, she said this, he said that, we're not even going to bring them to the table.
Right, right. And thanks for sharing that. I also want to give a shout out to our SEA president, Mari Martinez, you know, who's been great to work with, and mm-hmm. even our prior leadership was great to work with. You know, my experience working with SEA has been a super positive one. And so I think you said that real well, you know, that we're not always going to agree, but you know, we will agree in terms of purpose, and it's okay to disagree, right? But yeah. But what's important is having the discussion around it and coming to a conclusion that both parties can agree to. And again, you know, it's about being a unified front. It's about making decisions that are important to our students and important to our employees and our mm-hmm. teachers, right? Because, you know, we all know that we're in we're in a time where people have choices, right?
Yes.
And have many choices, and we want to make sure we hang on to our employees that especially want to be here and want to serve our community. And so, you know, it's been a great experience for me just working with SEA. I know last year we were able to accomplish a lot. You know,
oh, yeah.
We covered a lot. You know, every time that the district receives any type of extra monies, I want to make sure that we always put that back into the hands of our employees. And so, you know, I know last year we had the ability to do some incentive pay. We had the ability to right size our salary schedules. And so I feel really good about the collaboration we had and the outcomes we had. And now, you know, we have a successful and we have a very competitive salary schedule, mm-hmm. right? And we know it's not perfect. We know it's still not enough. I wish we can continue to raise that, and you know, we'll try to find ways to you know, keep moving in that direction. And so, you know, I want the listeners to know that, you know, there's a lot of work that happens behind the scenes. This thing, it just doesn't happen on its own. And you know, our listeners probably shouldn't be worried about what's happening behind the scenes. I mean, we just got to make sure we're taking care of our teachers, right?
Yeah, and that we communicate it. But I think it is important, like you said, that people mm-hmm. do know that these discussions are not just happening with just leadership saying, well, this is what's going to happen. You know, we have what's called IBB, interest-based bargaining, where all of the groups that for admin, certified, classified come together and we make these decisions to have those competitive salaries, to put those extra monies to our employees, or and then also, you know, to make sure that our students are getting the best
right.
of the best.
Yeah, and we're very fortunate, as you mentioned earlier. I'm glad we have great relationships, because I know in other districts there's some tension. There's mm-hmm. tension amongst employee groups, and you know, we have standing meetings, and all of our employee groups have a voice, you know, whether that be our Sunnyside Classified Education Association, whether it be the Sunnyside Administrators Association, and again, talking about our Sunnyside Education Association. So, you know, I'm glad that we're able to have those discussions, and that we're aligned in terms of our thinking and in terms of our purpose. And so, you know, again, shifting gears here a little bit, tell us a little bit more about yourself. You know, I think sometimes our students, they want to know more than just that teacher they see in the classroom, right? So, you know, what are your personal interests? What are your hobbies? You know, let's put that out there for your students and your families.
The first guest that you had, he was all about music and things like that. Same thing with me. I don't play any instruments, but music is my passion. I incorporate it in my classroom all the time. There's always some kind of music playing, whether it's classical music while they're testing, or like Selena, because I love Selena Quintanilla, and they love to dance to that and move along with that and work with that. So I don't like a quiet classroom. Yeah. I like
Do you
it
ever
to be...
use the line, anything for Selena's?
Some right? of them actually know they, that because
oh,
they've
I bet
seen
they
it.
Do.
Yep, or they sing along with it. Yeah. Like we were listening yeah. to Como La Flor on Thursday right. yesterday, and I had a kid like busting out singing. It was hilarious.
I was definitely a big fan of her, but I'm not going to say it was because of her music. But, you know, and then, you know, when Jennifer Lopez took that role, it just went in a whole nother direction. Mm-hmm. So became a bigger fan of Selena. So, you know, that's cool. I think music is something that kids can relate to. Everybody can relate to, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you don't have to be a musician. Believe me, I'm not a talented musician. I get brave and want to sing every once in a while, but that's as far as it goes. And so what other interests and hobbies do you have besides music? I should probably ask it this way. But you know, I want to know what your most embarrassing moment is as a teacher. And I want to know what your proudest moment is as a teacher.
Those are good questions. I'm gonna start with probably the most embarrassing moment was my first year teaching here in Sunnyside, and I was teaching, you know, fifth grade. So I went from first grade to fifth grade. Fifth grade math, I'm good. I'm, you know, pretty solid at it now, but math was not my strongest subject. I tell the kids that too, and I think that's part of, like, you know, also being vulnerable with your students. And so I tell them all the time, math was not Mrs. Zelog's strongest subject. And we were learning about how to, I think, add mixed numbers, and I completely messed it up. I taught them exactly, like, completely wrong. And I went over it with my team afterwards. They're like, yeah, no, that's not how you do it. And I was like,
did you Google the wrong information, or was it?
Or I just kind of off the cuff. It was like, I think I remember how to do this. Let's just do it. Completely
right,
wrong.
Right, right.
And so it was kind of like I had to humble myself and be like, all right, I have to tell the kids tomorrow that I did it completely wrong. And we had to completely learn it over again. And at the moment, it felt like the most horrific, embarrassing, like, how can I do that? I'm the teacher, I should know everything. And now looking back on it, I'm like, yeah.
But you know what? It says a lot about you as a person, right? I mean, we all screw up. And you know what? We're not above our students. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes, you know, I think from being in a student seat, you knew some of your teachers that were vulnerable and just, hey, I screwed up, we're gonna fix this.
Mm-hmm.
But and then there were some that, you know, had a little bit too much pride and said, I'm right, when they weren't right.
Right, double down,
so,
you're like, no. Nope.
So, you know, I mean, I think every teacher goes through that. I remember being in the classroom, and one of the things I always, you know, make it a point not to forget what my experience was like as a teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the teacher in you never leaves you. And so, you know, I think we've all been corrected by our students, right, at some point or another. I used to teach Spanish and at the high school as a world language, and believe me, my students would correct me all the time, right? And so it's something that – but it says a lot about you as a person, just being vulnerable, right? You didn't you didn't get offended and you didn't say, hey, I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm the teacher and you're the student. And so, you know, that's pretty cool, you know, that students see that side of you, see that vulnerable side of you, and see you as a human being, right? We all yes. make errors, and so, you know, we learn by our failures and we learn by our errors. And so, you know, so what's your proudest moment? What's your proudest moment?
I think this year has been a very, because, okay, so I student taught, like I said, it was third graders, and I moved back home the next year. And then I came back, I taught fifth grade, so I had those same kids that I student taught with. They are now seniors in high school this year. So this is my first graduating group. Nice, nice. And so I've been invited to, like the football games, and they had, like, the senior night and things like that. And it's just been a very, like emotional, proud moment to see them and then to think in May when I'm going to hear their name and see them walk across that stage. It's just, I'm proud to see who, like, to think back to when they were in third grade, fifth grade, and to see them now as almost adults. It just makes me tear up, you know, a lot, actually, not a little bit, a lot. Cause I went to one of my former students, Daisy. She's the student body president at Desert View and like the head cheerleader. And I worked with her mother. She worked at Los Amigos a while ago, and I went to the senior night, and I just, you know, I stayed back. The families went down. I was like, hey, I'm just gonna, you know, cheer her name. And then her cousin pointed me out, and then she looks up and she waves and blows me a kiss, and I just bawled like a baby. It was just, mm-hmm. and so I think, and I'm sure there are teachers that, you know, they have, when I tell teachers this, like, yeah, wait till they get married, wait till they have kids. And so I'm like, yeah, you just feel so proud to see. I had a small moment in their life that I get to see what they've become, and yeah. it's just beautiful.
Yeah. And it's not a small moment. It's a huge moment. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think many times in education, as educators, the more years we're into it, we kind of ask ourselves, are we moving this forward, or are we spinning our wheels? Right. Mm-hmm. Are we making an impact, or are we not? And, you know, those are the little reminders, the little moments like that, the little details that mean the most. And, yeah. and, you know, you're making a huge impact. And, you know, I put this out there to our educators, you know, we have an opportunity to impact students every single day, mm-hmm. right? And so our actions will either come across positive, or they're going to come across negative, right? Yeah. I mean, and I'm hoping we're more on the positive side, because let's admit it, we have bad days, and sometimes yeah. we don't make great decisions here and there. But we have that opportunity to impact students every day. And you know, there's an old saying, and I'm going to screw it up because I just can't remember it off the top of my head. It's a Maya Angelou saying, and it says something, it's in regards to something like, you know, students will not always remember how you made them feel, or I'm sorry, I already screwed it up. Students may not remember what you said to them, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, Maya Angelou, but got it right. Yeah, I mean, we you know, looking back at my school experience, you remember those people that made you feel special, that mm-hmm. made you feel important, but you also remember those people that made a comment, right? Whether they're educators, yeah. your counselors, and they made that little comment that was hurtful, that little comment that made you feel just not worthy, right?
Yeah, it made you, with you.
It sticks with you, and it mm-hmm. screws up your confidence, and that kind of ticks me off, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to use the other word, but it upsets me a little bit that you know, our words matter. Our words and our actions matter as educators. And so we always got to, you know, keep that in mind, right? Because yeah. we don't know what the home life sometimes is for our students. We don't know if you know, they're getting that from home, or maybe they are, right? But and even if they are, if they're not, you know, we got to be very mindful of our actions. But just going back to what you were saying, I mean, it just, you know, I think you're going through that cycle now where your kids are old enough, they're graduating, mm-hmm. and you had a part of that. You know, I always talk about how high school teachers and counselors and administrators and employees at the high school, they get all the accolades. Yep. They see the kids graduate. They're with them the last couple years. They see the scholarships. But it's about that whole school experience, mm-hmm. you know, and every, if you ask students who had an impact in your life, it's not always going to be the high school teacher.
Yeah.
It's going to be an elementary teacher, a middle school teacher. It can be the counselor. It can be the bus driver.
Yeah.
It's somebody. It can be a coach. Right. And I know in, you know, when I started this job, I did a presentation on opening day, and I talked about my kindergarten teacher, mm-hmm. because, you know, I was an ELL student, and she didn't make me feel any different than anybody else, right? Although, you know, I needed a little extra support. And so a little shout out there to Miss Artemisa Lopez. was my elementary teacher at Mission Manor, and she was the teacher of my sisters as well. So, you know, it's those individuals that make a difference. And so, you know, I'm glad to hear that you're feeling that, and that'll continue, you know, mm-hmm. and pretty soon you're going to have students that have, you know, families and they have careers. Yeah, and when you get as old as me, you know, I got students that have, you know, kids close to the same age as my kids. Right. Oh my but goodness. I started at the high school level. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I always, you know, everywhere you go, you run into students, and I'm just terrible at names. I remember faces very well, but sometimes I don't remember names, and then I have a hard time figuring out, okay, between what year and what year did this individual graduate? So,
or you have their siblings, and you're like, I don't know which one you are.
yeah, that's right. You get all the siblings.
The older one, younger one, yeah.
Well, any other thoughts? Any other thoughts for the listeners that you want to get out there? Any shout outs? Anything on your mind that you want to put out there to the listeners?
I'm just very proud to be. I was not a Sunnyside born and raised, but very proud to be part of Sunnyside. I do feel like this is my home. Like I said, especially Los Amigos, that familia, and I think I've learned so much by getting involved, not just through SEA, although that was my, you know, gateway into getting involved into leadership. But I just encourage any Sunnyside employee, classified, certified, everybody to just get as involved as you can, ask questions. I mean, assume positive intentions. And the more you get involved, the more you know, and the better that we're going to be as a district. Because I really think Sunnyside truly is unique in the fact that we put the kids always first and are able to have these conversations with the kids in mind. Always.
That's right, Ms. Elog. Well said. I mean, it's for me, it's personal, right? It's mm-hmm. personal because I was one of those kids, and I came up through the system, grew up in this community. And I will say this to you. You are Sunnyside. You are Sunnyside through and through. You don't have to be a graduate of this district. You didn't have to live in the district. But what matters is what you do while you're here, right? And what's your impact? You know, we got to ask ourselves, what is our impact every day? And so we have many, many employees that they weren't born here. They weren't raised here. They didn't go through our school system, but they are Sunnyside. And obviously that's the title of our show, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Somos Sunnyside. It's about giving back to this community, right? And for me, it's about giving back, you know, to a community that gave me so much as a kid. For others that weren't raised here, didn't go through the school system, they're still giving back because of what's given to them in terms of their relationships with their students, mm-hmm. in terms of their relationship with the families, and you know, I like to say the Sunnyside Kool-Aid, right, is live and well because, you know, those people that have a taste of the Kool-Aid, you know, we hang on to for the most part. We mm-hmm. hang on to for the most part, you know, and I always talk about, you know, it's about who's good fits, right? It's not always about, and I'll probably get some criticism here, but it's not always about who is the most qualified, who has the most distinguished degrees. It's about who's a good fit for our students and who's a good fit for our community and to serve our community. So, Ms. Elog, I want to thank you for taking the time to meet with us. You know, we learned a lot about you. I hope the listeners, you know, enjoyed the conversation. You know, we want some feedback from our listeners. So please, you know, don't be afraid to shout out to us. You know, our goal here is to continue to learn about our community and learn about our employees that serve our community. And so we're going to, you know, keep at this. We're new at this podcast thing and you know, hit those like buttons. We want to continue this show and you know, we want to learn a lot about, you know, what's going out there in Sunnyside and we want to display it, right? Because, you know, let's be real. There's a lot of negatives out there, right? There's a lot of haters out there, as our kids say, right? And so we want to you know, smash that negative, you know, mindset that sometimes is out there and really highlight and celebrate the great things that are happening, you know? And one of the things that was in the news recently was, you know, our high school students that have been admitted to the University of Arizona, yes. right? I mean, mm-hmm. you were a part of that.
Kids.
Your former kids, right? Yes. I mean, we all had a hand in that. Mm-hmm. And so, again, high schools get the accolades, but people should feel good that they had a hand in that. And so Sunnyside High School ranked number one in the nation yeah. in terms of students attending being accepted to University of Arizona. And they're mm-hmm. they're nearly at almost 200 students. I believe the 193 is the exact number.
Wow.
And Desert View's third in the nation, you mm-hmm. know, and at a little over 120, you know, 120 students. And so we got some star students in there also. I want to give them a shout out. And this is the work, this is the collective work of all our educators, right? And more importantly, it's about believing in our kids, yes. You know, that our kids can be successful, you know, and they can compete with anyone. And now you'll get tired of me, you know, people get tired of me saying that, but that's where my heart's at. And you know, I want our kids to feel super confident as they graduate from our school systems and go on to do great things. And so until next time, I want to thank you, Ms. Zilog, for joining us today. And, you know, want a little shout out to the viewers. You know, we'll end our episode and, you know, hit them like buttons. Somos Sunnyside. That's right. We are Sunnyside. Thank you very much.
Somos Sunnyside.